does not study his word. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God. God does not approve of that. If a man does not study his word, he refers to a minister as a workman. And you know what a workman does? He works. I recall Paul again saying to Timothy, the elders that rule well are worthy of double honor, especially they who labor. Who labor in the word and doctrine. There's labor in it. There's work. Study. You know, I believe it was Solomon that said, much study is a weariness of the flesh. Now, you know, studying is not always easy. But when the Lord reveals something to you, I think it's easier all the time. It certainly encourages you and builds you up. But study is hard work. It's hard on the flesh. There's much weariness in it. But he says, a minister is a workman. He says, he's to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And as I've already said, if a man is trying to minister the word that he's never studied, he's got something to be ashamed of. And God does not approve of that. And if we're going to rightly divide the word of truth, we're going to have to spend many hours pouring over the scriptures. And you notice he says rightly dividing the word of truth, dividing the truth. He doesn't say truth from error. There's no error in this book. It's all truth. But the truth has to be rightly divided,
right,
rightly applied, interpreted, and applied, put in its proper place. And that's what God has called men to do. Now you just turn over one chapter to the third chapter of this same second epistle. And Paul says this to Timothy in verse 15. He says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on in the next couple of verses to again bring before us the fact that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. There's nothing written in God's word that's not profitable to be taught and to be understood. And if the whole counsel of God is taught, then we'll have to teach all scripture. We'll have to make an attempt to do that. You understand? I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. No man will live long enough to preach it all out. The half's never been told. You know that. But all, as best he can, he is to set before the people the whole counsel of God, as much as within him lies. But he says here to Timothy, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. And you know, he mentioned that Timothy had a godly mother and grandmother. And if from a child, if he had known the Scriptures, obviously he would stand to reason that they had taught him the Scriptures. The indication seems to be that his father was an unbeliever. He was a Greek. You know, it said his mother was a Jewish and believed, but his father was Greek. So it seems to be, I'm not saying I know that's true, but the indication is that he was taught the Scriptures by his godly mother. And most likely his grandmother, if she was living at that time. But he says that through a knowledge of the Scriptures, he says he was made wise unto salvation through faith that's in Christ Jesus. And that just brings up the point that all the old prophets taught, I'm talking about the Old Testament prophets, all that they pointed exactly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the apostles began to preach there in the early church in Jerusalem, they preached from the Old Testament Scripture. And that's all they had. You may recall over there, I believe it's in the 17th chapter of Acts, if I'm not mistaken, where it speaks of some believers at Berea. It says they were noble, and they searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things that were preached to them were true. Now, the Scriptures they searched were the Old Testament Scriptures.
Right.
That's the
Amen.
Only Scriptures they had. And through searching the Old Testament Scriptures, they could verify the message that the apostles taught. Now, a lot of people believe that the Old Testament has no relevance today. Well, my friends, that's what the apostles preached from.
Yeah.
The apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, said the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. We might have an expectation. We might know what God has promised, knowing that God cannot lie. His word is sure.
Yeah.
And so we have an expectation through the writings of the prophets there. And I want to turn over to the book of Acts. This is Paul's testimony before Agrippa. You know, he was on his way to Rome at this time, and he's standing before Agrippa here in the 26th chapter of Acts, and he's talking about how the Jews had persecuted him, and they sought to kill him. And I want to begin in verse 22 of Acts 26, and he says to Agrippa, he says, having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Now Paul said, I've been preaching exactly what Moses and the prophets said should come. And what did Moses and the prophets say should come? Verse 23 says that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles.
Yes.
And Paul talked about how ironic it was that the Jews would persecute him for preaching what Moses and the prophets said would come. When they claimed to be Moses' disciple, they claimed that they believed the prophets. They claimed that Paul was contradicting them, of course. But you see, the problem was they didn't believe the prophets. They didn't know the voice of their own prophets. They didn't know the time of their visitation. They didn't recognize the Messiah when he came. He came into his own. What does the scripture say? His own received him not. He was despised and rejected of men. And so Paul said, I have preached exactly what Moses and the prophets did say should come. And you recall there in the, I believe it's the last chapter of the book of Luke, when our Lord had risen from the dead and appeared to those two disciples on the way to, on the road to Emmaus there, and asked them why they were so sad. And of course he knew. But they said, are you a stranger here? You don't know what went on. We thought this man Jesus was going to be the deliverer of Israel. And then, if you come on down, you find the Lord saying this to him. If I can, let's see, find a place here. And then it's a verse 25 of Luke 24. He says, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning the Savior. So all prophecy pointed exactly to him, that lamb that was slain in the purpose of God from the foundation of the world. But in the fullness of time, God sent him into the world. And as you know, the scriptures that we have here bear testimony to the life that's in him. In him is life. You know, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And what did he say? They bear witness of the life that's in me.
Amen.
In him was life, and the life is the light of men. I want to close with the exhortation of our Lord to some of the churches, and he instructed the Apostle John to write to in Revelation. And I believe the first three I can recall churches that he wrote to there. He said this to them, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And what does the Spirit have to say to the churches? Right here it is. The Spirit of God inspired men to pen these truths down. And this is what men are to preach. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word and be insistent about it, knowing that the God who had these truths penned cannot lie. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Preach it, brother. Joy to preaching. Thankful, I trust, to have a hearing ear and be able to hear what thus saith the Spirit. There was something come to my mind, and if I could, I'd like to relate it just a little bit in a way of our experience in coming to the Primitive Baptist Church. There was some brethren, Elder Tolley for one, that came by invitation, by appointment, and I might elaborate just a little bit. Amongst Primitive Baptist people, it's always been a standard, if someone comes to preach that we've never been particularly in fellowship with, then they're granted an appointment and they carry on their meeting, and then they dismiss their meeting and then the church. And this is what happened where that we were. I know that several years ago, within the bounds of Fishers River, within the Piney Grove Association and the associations up in Virginia, that they didn't have fellowship with one another at that time, but there was granted a appointment for the preachers from the Fishers River to come and to preach over in the Piney Grove. And this is how that Elder Tolley came to an independent missionary Baptist church people, which we were. That's how he came to preach for us. He came on an appointment. They conducted their meeting. I say theirs because I was a member of that independent Baptist at that time. And they came and they preached for us. And let me tell you something, brethren, in the midst of that preaching, the Spirit of the Lord just kind of, I won't say that it reached out and grabbed like you see them on TV doing, reach in and grab a hold to your heart. But I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord began to work. And when that meeting was over, we began to inquire where that we could go and hear some more of this. Paul writing, and he began to talk about preaching that gospel. And the Bible said that when he preached, almost the whole city came out to hear him. And when they came out, my friends, there were some that didn't come to hear the preaching. They come to see who of their brethren was there to hear the preaching. Now listen, the Bible said that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Hear it? To them that perish foolishness. But to them that believe, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. That's the definition that Paul gave to that preaching in the Corinthian letter. I thank my brother, thank the Lord, for the soundness of the doctrine and the preaching. There's a scripture found, and my eyes crossed this while that he was preaching, and it has to do with the same, and I trust being addenda to what he preached. In chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 10, the Bible says, well, let me get number 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired. Which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. A lot of people ask the question, well, now, grace came by Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible said. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Says we understand how men are saved in the New Testament, but what about the Old Testament? How are men saved in the Old Testament, seeing that Jesus had never come yet? Well, let's just see if that be so. In this 11th verse of 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, searching what, or what manner of time, listen to this verse, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ that was in them. Now I ask you, who was he talking about? The verse right back up above there says that the prophets having inquired about this. And then in verse 11, he says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, that is in the prophets, the Spirit of Christ that was in the prophets. What does that tell you? That they are saved in the Old Testament just exactly like you and I were saved, and that's in Christ Jesus. No other way. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us that did minister. Now I want to say to you this evening, that when the gospel was preached, and our ears were blessed to hear, I say and submit to you that when that gospel is preached unto one that has life, it has an effect. It has an effect. And that effect sometimes is a rejection or refusal to believe what the Bible says. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe that. There's no way that that can be so. When you preach what the Bible says, and let me give it to you like this. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most Christian folk, if you will, can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But not all Christian denominations believe that he's the eternal Son of God. Not all of them believe that Jesus was with the Father before the foundation of the world. Did John the Baptist made this statement speaking of Christ Jesus. And when he identified him as the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, when he was there. He said, there's one coming after me who was preferred before me. Because what? He was before me. There's no other way you can describe or cut that or interpret that except what the Bible says, that Jesus was with the Father before the foundation of the world. Jesus himself says, I came down from heaven. I came down from heaven. That is, I was with the Father. In John chapter 17, he said, restore or give me back the glory that I had with thee before the world was. How could he have had the glory that was with the Father except he be the eternal Son of God? I want to ask you something again. When you see the scriptures that talks about Christ Jesus and the work that he did, being saved eternally in Christ Jesus because we were given unto him by the Father. The scriptures goes further with this. And the last part of that 1 Peter's writings in that first chapter, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but an incorruptible. I've had a real rough time, as most folks do, or have had this year with gardens. Let me say it like this. I go to the store and went to Webster's Hardware because somebody said Webster's Hardware sold the best seed. I went to Webster's Hardware, bought me some bean seed, and carried them home and planted them. And they weren't any different than they were up at the other store up there. They all sprouted or didn't sprout the same way. I bought half runners. I bought the mountain half runners. And when they come up, regardless of whether they come from Webster's or somewhere else, if they've not been mixed, if they're still pure seed, when they come up, that's exactly what they're going to be. They're going to be mountain half runners, and they're not going to be bush beans. But now, perchance, listen to me, perchance there is some kind of a Blue Lake bush bean in there, or top crop, or an old Kentucky wonder. What you get and plant is what you get. The Bible said that Jesus Christ was planted in the heart of the earth as a seed. He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if that seed that's sown in the ground, if it come forth, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now you consider what that says. Every one of us understand that. You go out in here in a farmer's wheat field. And incidentally, you might get shot if you do like the Jews used to be by law able to do. By law, the Jews were able to walk through their neighbor's field or their vineyard. And they were able to walk through at the times of the grateful ripe. They could walk through and they could eat every bit that they could hold, but they couldn't carry a vessel to put them in. We have a neighbor across the road from us who's got some muscadines and whatever else are coming on. And we've already warned him that we're going to build them sample. You know, we didn't want to get shot for him. But the Bible says that when a plant, a seed, that is sown in the earth, when it comes forth, it bringeth forth much fruit. One tiny grain of wheat, rye, oats, whatever you plant in the ground, it'll come up as a stalk. And on the top of that stalk, there's going to be several seeds in replica to what you planted. Not different, but a replica of what you planted. Since Jesus Christ represents the household of faith, we are represented by Christ Jesus in the spiritual realm, by Adam in the natural realm. And since Christ was planted in the heart of the earth, and laid in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, and rose again, Paul says, according to the scriptures. Do you suppose that which comes forth is going to be anything but like Christ? Let me ask you that. Because Christ represented us, the very thing that comes forth is going to be like Christ, not right now, but in the new birth, that that's on the inside that's going to be eternal and forever is going to be like Christ. It's going to be that seed that was sown. Listen to what he says again. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed. Not of one that goes into the ground. Listen, we planted green beans three times. You know why? because some of them that we put in the ground, the cold weather and the rain, they didn't come out. They rotted in the ground. But I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ said that the Father would not suffer him to see corruption. That is, he wouldn't be in the ground like Lazarus was. He wouldn't be in the ground 4 days, but he'd be in the ground 3 days and three nights, and he'd come forth. He didn't see corruption. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Which word is he talking about? The brother has preached, which was a preached word. He talked to you about this written word, but he's also talked about the living word. That's Christ Jesus. And all three have a human side as well as a God side. Think about what he said. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came into this world and he took upon himself a body, like unto our sin accepted. There's verily God and verily man in that body. The God of heaven sent forth his word. The man wrote it down. He pinned it down. But they were moved by the Holy Spirit. There's God and there's man. When a preacher stands up and he's blessed to preach, there's the man and there's God that gives the power of the gospel. Being, he said, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Which word is under consideration here? Think about this. In the days that they made the first English Bible, when they first translated the Gospels into English, you know what they did? They went through all the country, and everywhere that they could find them, they took this written word and they burned it by fire. I submit to you this evening that this scripture is not talking about the written word. All right, let's go with the preached word. Is he talking about the preached word in this scripture? No, he's not. Because the Bible says that there'll be a day when that angel comes flying through the air. And the Bible says that John saw an angel flying through the air, having the everlasting gospel to preach. But there's also says that when the angel descends from heaven and puts one foot upon the sea and one foot upon the land and declareth by him that liveth forever. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. And declared by him that time should be no more. You think, and I'll be right ugly with this, do you think Billy Graham's going to be in heaven preaching? There might be some folk that believe that. The gospel doesn't have any use in heaven. When we speak of the gospel, we're talking about a man from a far country. We are ambassadors of God, and we are talking about that man that's in a faraway land. We're talking about him that has sent us to talk about and bear witness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Two more verses. For all flesh is as grass. All flesh is as grass, and all glory of the man as the flower of the grass. Now this is all in these three verses. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Anything that belongs to man is going to come to an end. Death is sure. Death is sure unless the Lord comes back and you are blessed like Enoch, who was translated that he not see death. Somebody said, I believe that when the Lord comes back, everybody that's alive then is going to fall over dead, and the Lord's going to speak to them, they're going to come up again. Enoch was translated that he not see death. The man Elijah, the Bible said in the book of the Kings, said that God sent a fiery chariot and caught this man Elijah up in a whirlwind in a fiery chariot and carried him away. Somebody said, I didn't see him. No, but Elisha saw him. He said that he saw him going away, and when he went away, his garment fell from the chariot. He was going up. When he was going up, that garment fell down and Elisha grabbed it. He had asked for a double portion. And you know what Elijah told him? He said, if you see me going away, says, you may. Elisha said, I want a double portion like what I've seen Elijah have. I want to be like him, in other words. And if you're in the day's vernacular, there's a saying, be like Mike. No. Elisha says, I want to be able to do the things that I have seen, or a continuation of the things that I have seen in Elijah. And when that garment fell, the Bible said that Elisha took that garment and he began to write through the Lord those things like he had seen Elijah do. We're coming to an end. We're coming to a time when our bodies will lay down in death. And there are a lot of people in this world who are scared to death to talk about death. They are afraid to talk about dying. And it's an inevitable thing, and you'll never escape it except for one exception. The grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word, still in that same three verses, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Look at that last sentence in verse 25. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. There's two different words under consideration here. One of them is the living word, Jesus Christ, and the other is the preached word that he said that would be preached unto you. And that's what Peter did. Consider this. God gave, according to the scriptures, God gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. He said, behold, I give unto thee the keys to the kingdom. And when he told him that, there were some stipulations that went along with the keys. I remember when our oldest son got old enough to drive. I remember that pretty clear. Most of y'all probably do too. The first thing we did before we ever handed him the keys, we began to tell him what all things were required before we ever got the keys. How to drive, where not to go, who not to associate with, how not to speed, how to keep your eyes on the road, don't be diddling with the radio, and don't be doing this and that and the other. We gave them all kind of rules before they ever got the keys. The Lord said to Peter, he said, behold, I give unto thee the keys to the kingdom. Now this was something, the kingdom belonged to God. It wasn't Peter's, but God gave him the keys. And when he gave him the keys, it was an authority that God gave him to take the gospel and open the understanding of those that he preached to, that they might understand that Jesus Christ died for them. Listen, when he went up to Cornelius' house, and I'm going to cut to the chase here. When he went up to Cornelius' house, there was witnesses, both two from up there and from up there. And when Peter went up there and preached unto them, he preached unto them Jesus Christ. And as he was preaching, Peter says, is there any here that can forbid water, seeing these have received the Holy Ghost? If you believe that you're going to get the Holy Ghost in baptism, you better look at what was said in this verse of Scripture. He says, seeing these, is anybody here, any of my brethren that come with me up here, are there any of y'all that can forbid water to these Gentiles that they be not baptized, seeing they have received also the Holy Ghost? I say to you that he used those keys. Now look, here's what the stipulations were. He says, whatsoever things that you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever things are loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Well, how could that be? Is the preaching of the gospel a binding and loosing? It is, in a sense. It is, in a sense, because it's in his kingdom. It's in his church. It's under his authority by using the keys of the kingdom. Peter said these words, and he talked about Christ Jesus, the Lord. And he understood the evidence or the particulars about following Christ. When the Lord gave him the keys to the kingdom, it wasn't long before the Apostle Peter denied the Lord. It wasn't long before the Apostle Peter denied the Lord. Back when our oldest boy began to drive, we had a Toyota station wagon, Mark II Corona, that looked like a yellow cracker box. And I could just see our oldest son driving that thing down the road somewhere. And they said, "Oh, I know who you are. I know who your mom and daddy is. I've seen them driving that thing." I mean, it'd been hard to miss. But here's what I want you to see. Peter denied the Lord while the Lord was being trialed and up to crucify. The Bible said that he followed the Lord afar off. That's why he denied him. You and I, if we follow the Lord in gospel obedience, we rise up immediately, take a hold of what the gospel has said, rejoice in that. I'll tell you of a truth. That day that I stood the first Sunday of July up yonder at the foot of the Blue Ridge Mountains in that cold spring water, stood in there while 19 people were being baptized. Thank God. I'll tell you, brethren, I've never been sorry. I've never regretted that. And it'd been a dry season. It'd been a dry season. It hadn't rained. Guess what? When we come out of the water, getting ready to go change clothes, it began to rain. Thank God, I'm telling you, brethren, I found something that I've enjoyed all these many years, and I'm not ready to give it up. I was satisfied with her when I come, and I'm still satisfied with the doctrine and practice of the church. We fall short sometime in using the keys to the kingdom. We come short sometime because of this flesh, but I've enjoyed these many years. I'm thankful that God allowed me these years to see the beauty of Zion. He's allowed me to see the lilies in the valleys and the rose of Sharon. He's allowed me sometimes, I believe, to soar with the eagles. But there's been times, brethren, when I felt like there wasn't a friend on earth, not an eye to pity, nor a hand to deliver. But God is still God, and I thank him for all that he's benefited me in this world. He's the giver, the preserver, and brethren, the Holy Spirit administers what God said would be his. And that's eternal life, when he comes to administer and give that new birth to one of God's little children. Thank him for his mercies. And to the name of Jesus Christ, to him be honor and glory and power and majesty in the church world without him. I thank you for your attention. This being the day for the conference meeting here at Roma Cove. Number 7, sing when you're ready. Shake hands one with the other.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling home. Yeah.
thank all of you for coming our way today. Again, we appreciate your support, your confidence, and love that you extend to us. Is anything else to claim attention to the church? Any further now to claim attention to the church?
We'll just invite you to come meet with us anytime you can in our church.
I believe you have a the bell where you have it on the stage.
Second Sunday afternoon, right, 2 o'clock. We have Mr. Bell for the first Sunday morning. I want to get y'all to be here on the second Sunday afternoon. Second, 2 to 3 is 2:30. You can see our band there on the fourth Sunday.
Yeah, I know.
This Sunday in July, Green Hill, Brother Chris is supposed to be with us. Brother
Ken,
wait.
We went to Brother's visit, Brother James, tonight, and then it's in his brother's church.
Brother James Knight has been visiting him. Then they got all hearts, minds free, Brother Ken, would you just listen?
Father, we thank you again. Bless you for another day. Thank you for everything. Thank you most of all for loving us. For that, that you have the person for something for you. We would ask your blessing upon this church here at Long Cove. Ask that you remember Brother Gunner and his labors. Bless all that make up the church here at Father. Remember all that have been named here this afternoon. And that you've undertaken with every hand. Pray, dear Lord, that you forgive us of our shortcomings. We confess that there is no other thank you. Pray this message. Tonight, keeping, bless us on tomorrow as we meet together. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.